Well, we've been following the trial of the Lord Jesus, and today we come to the crucifixion as outlined in John's Gospel. Well, our section begins with Pilate condemning the Lord Jesus and sentencing him to death. Verse 16. Therefore delivered he him unto them to be crucified. Pilate had previously, on two occasions, you'll remember, declared to be found no fault in him. In other words, that he was innocent. One can only imagine the struggle that must have been going through Pilate's mind as he fought with his conscience. On the one hand, his conscience said that he should release the Lord Jesus. But then the other side of his nature told him that the expedient course, the course that would lead him to less trouble, the easy course would be for him to hand over the Lord Jesus to the baying crowd. The great value of the gospel is the peace that it gives you. On Friday, we were considering the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we were asked, if you remember, why the gospel is called the gospel of peace. And the answer was that it brings peace with God. It is good news of peace. No one is at peace until they come as a sinner, repenting of their sin and believing the gospel. That is the only way to get true peace. We can think we have peace. We can be in a good place, as it were, in our minds. But actually, we're still under the wrath of God. I always remember the, well, probably the more white, well, when you were allowed to advertise smoking, which you're not, of course, today, probably a good thing. But there would be a scene where someone would be smoking a cigarette on his horse, and he'd be looking over this peaceful scene, or someone would be smoking a cigarillo and looking on this peaceful environment. You think that is peace. That's human peace. Just as human peace might be enjoying a glass of wine with your friends one evening, even over a sunset. There are many times, or on holiday, going to some new wonderful place, looking up at the glorious mountains. Somebody amongst us has got a WhatsApp profile, and you look at this picture of the mountains, and you think, oh, it'd be lovely to be there. And you sense that sense of peace when you're there, don't you? But all these are passing pieces, as it were. And it doesn't deal with the real peace that you and I have to have. And we will only find that in Christ. And we'll find that peace wherever, whatever our scenery is, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances is. That peace can be maintained. So that peace is a more important peace than any other peace. Peace with God. And we're told in Colossians 3, verse 15, to maintain that peace. Just one moment, please. We read, and let the, Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And you see that we need to be making decisions that keep that peace in our hearts. While we have peace with God, it is a peace to be experienced. It is a peace that can be lost. We
I'm going to
gain.
put this in here to see if it works.
Well, Pilate would never have known that peace, but he did know what the right thing to do was. And he did the wrong thing. And so his conscience would have
Well, I
been
know it. You can't.
unimaginable. Well, his conscience was silenced. And that can happen
Silence.
too, can't it? You can get a seared conscience. You can get a peace by having a seared conscience. Well, friends, we need to be also take note of Paul's example, what he said. And herein, Do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men? He strove to keep a clear conscience in everything that he did. How many of us do? How careful are we to keep a clear conscience? If we want to keep a clear conscience, we only want to do the right thing, then we'll always be careful, particularly in what we say and also what we do. Because we won't want to say something or do something that we're going to instantly regret. If you had those moments yourself, when no sooner are the words out of your mouth than you actually wish you could recall them, but you can't, it's too late. Is it quick to listen, slow to speak? And someone else has said, the reason why you have two ears is because you're meant to listen twice as much as you speak. Two ears, one mouth. Oh, friends, may we learn. Well, note next how Pilate appears to have tried to transfer the guilt of this monstrous injustice, this terrible crime he was about to commit. He thought he'd transfer the guilt to the Jews by handing the Lord Jesus over to them instead of his own officers, which you would think was the usual way that the Romans would have executed a criminal sentenced to death. Perhaps he was hoping to salve his conscience so that he could convince himself that he wasn't actually responsible. And one of the other Gospels actually has him washing his hands. And that's come into our language, hasn't it? To wash your hands for something is to pretend that you no longer have responsibility for something that actually is still your responsibility. There are things that we do try and wash our hands of. We get somebody else to do the dirty work, don't we? Wash our hands of a problem when the problem is our own. And it was, and it didn't stop being Pilate's problem. Because he had the ultimate authority under God, whether or not the Lord Jesus was set free as he should have been, or whether he went to his death. We have to remember also, though, that the other side of this is that the Jews would have wanted to have crucified the Lord Jesus themselves. They would have wanted to make sure that they did what they thought was their duty. And in Deuteronomy 17, verse 7, we read, "The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among them." So we don't know whether that was the reason that the Jews had persuaded Pilate to let them execute the Lord Jesus, crucify the Lord Jesus, or whether it was Pilate attempting to wash his hands. It's a difficult one because you would have thought that they would have stoned him if they'd had their way in the execution. But it therefore is perhaps more likely that the real reason was that Pilate was hoping to salve his conscience. We also notice that how, in this whole matter, the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. You see, we deserve to be condemned as Christ was. He didn't deserve to be condemned, but we do deserve to be condemned. Do you know the times people go up before the courts? And because I see it day in, day out, and sometimes you think, well, if they only knew some of the things I'd thought and done as a child, no, I would have been there. When you see a criminal there are actually many more criminals who should have been standing in their place. And if we're honest, you and I. And that's what Christ represents. You see, by standing there in public, condemned in public, he was standing in your and my place. It's often said that, one day there'll be a video of your whole life and all your thoughts played out on the day of judgment. And how embarrassed you and I would be if that film was shown to all our friends. You see what we really thought of them. And we don't always think as we ought to about our friends, even our friends, even our most loved ones. Then it will be played out. And so, in that sense, see, Christ was there in public being condemned as you and I should be on that day. It's to spare us from having that video played for all to see. Christ has taken that condemnation instead. It's remarkable, isn't it? That it can be so personalized to spare you and I, not just the blushes, but having to explain to a holy God, which we could not do, why we said, why we thought and did the things that we have.
Want to stop for coffee?
Well, so the Lord
It's
Jesus
time. I
was
can't hear.
brought
Yes or no?
as
Yes, please. Yes or no? Yes, please. Okay.
Isaiah 53, verse 7 tells us, even though it was us who deserved to be led there, instead, he went bearing the punishment that we all deserve. Let's move on to verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. We see in verse 17 that it opens with he bearing his cross. He was forced to carry what would have been the most appalling burden, that wooden implement that was going to be used to crucify him. There is an important detail concerning crucifixion that wasn't present when we used to put people to death. You see, there were places of execution. Marble Arch was one of them. I can't remember where the others are, they're probably all around London. But that was the one I particularly remember. And they were the gibbet, the gibbets upon which people were hung, remain there. I suppose they remain there as a warning. But apparently the crosses were erected at the time. You had a personalized cross. It's a cross with your name on it. And the Lord Jesus did have his name on it, didn't he? And Pilate, we will see that next week. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings. Sorry, the Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So everyone had a personal cross. And so the Lord Jesus had to carry his personal cross. And apparently, those crosses, many of them, ended up in the grave. We're not told that happened in this case, in the Lord Jesus' case, but apparently that's what used to happen. And there's a sense that there are a few lessons, a few points we can learn from this. Well, first it was part of his sufferings. He literally endured the cross, not just the shame of the cross and hanging there and the pain of having the nails driven through his hands and his feet, but also carrying, enduring the weight of the cross as he had to carry it up until it was taken from him. And still, because in another part of the gospel we read that a man called Simon carried it, but so plainly he carried it some of the way. He was still wearing that crown of thorns. Can you imagine? Because the place that cross is going to have to rest is on your head. And his head had this crown of thorns digging into it. Yet the Lord Jesus bore his agony patiently. Yet this was also only the beginning of his sorrows. Second, we read about Isaac in Genesis 22. And the reason for doing that is that we see he was a type of Christ when he was offered as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And it is said that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, was also Mount Moriah, the same place. But just as Isaac had to carry the wood on which he was to be burned, had not the Lord stopped it. So the Lord Jesus carried his wooden cross upon which he would be crucified to the place of crucifixion. So there's a marvelous symmetry there. There's a look forward that the Old Testament typifying in the story of Jacob and Isaac, sorry, Abraham and Isaac, typifying the story, sorry, the crucifixion scene, showing that it had all been planned throughout biblical history. And then third, having the cross laid on the Lord Jesus is a picture of him having the sins of you and me, all
What
of
are you doing?
God's people,
Don't have to back in every
laid
time. Just go
on him.
forward.
And
Oh,
Isaiah
I
53,
don't
verse 6 speaks of the Father laying on him the iniquity of us all. And 1 Peter 2, verse 24, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And the curse of the cross was upon him as well. Read in Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. And that's said in the context of being hung on a tree. So he was made a curse for us, and therefore, to show that he'd been made a curse for us, he was hung on a tree, which was a curse. Fourthly, the Lord Jesus illustrated
I've got to go to the
his
loo quickly.
earlier
Yes,
teaching
okay, you go on. Good luck.
by
It's
carrying
just in on
the
the loo. The
nails
loo or not?
he
No. Okay, I'll
taught
wait for you here.
disciples, you
I'll
and
get
me,
the coffee.
included, that we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow
Well,
Isaiah
very, there were
9, I
very
think it's
big
verse
accusations being
23,
thrown about in the
that all worse things
venue
begin.
last night.
And what does the Lord Jesus do? He shows us literally, in literal form, what we all have to do metaphorically. In other words, we don't literally, unlike some people who do go around the crosses, thinking that they're somehow making themselves more holy. But there is a sense in which we bear our cross, don't we? Because we go the way the Lord has sent us and we bear the consequences. I don't know what crosses you are bearing, but there are crosses to be borne in this life for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus bore that cross to show us that he was bearing it for us. We bear it for him. But because he bore it for us, it's his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we can say, as Paul said, that this light affliction is but for a moment. I saw there's a remarkable account of a very brave lady. She was called Odette. She was a Second World War spy. She amazingly, she was a Second World War spy who survived. And when she was thought she was going to be executed, she said to one of her German guards, "I will only die once." And there is a sense, isn't there, in which we will only die once. Our life is short, isn't it? And they can take away our bodies, they can take away our life, but they cannot kill our soul. And that makes it a light affliction in a sense, doesn't it? Because our soul is safe with Jesus, with the
Thank
Lord
you, Jesus.
Jesus. It doesn't
Thank
matter
you,
what they
Jesus.
do to our bodies, they
Thank you,
cannot
Jesus.
do anything with our souls. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus has borne the condemnation that should be ours himself by carrying our cross for us. Well, next, they brought the Lord Jesus to the place of execution.
Yes.
He went voluntarily, he wasn't dragged. And he went out of the city. The significance of being
I've been
outside
emptying it.
the city was that he
I've
was
done it.
covered with the transgressors. You see,
Is that something to read?
Golgotha is called the place of the skull. Presumably because that one reason would be, or well, there's another reason I'm coming to the moment. Because that was where dead bodies, where they were an unclean place, ceremonial. So again, it shows him being numbered with the transgressors. It is a visible representation of what was going on spiritually for us. A place that Christ, where Christ suffered, being made sin for us. So being made sin for us, he had to go to the most unclean place to suffer. And to suffer the death
or taken from the beast
of a convicted criminal so that he might purge our consciences and dead ones. As we read in Hebrews 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When I said there was one other reason for mentioning the place of the skull, it is said by tradition, it's quoted by a number of the church, so-called church fathers, Origen, Cyprian, Epiphanius, often Jerome and others, myself.
I want to drink it outside. I'm thinking for you.
If that is true, it's a nice thought. How poignant, because where, as Matthew Henry wrote, where death triumphed, there, at that very place, so Adam was conquered by death. The next time, there will be no third. First Adam, we are all in the first Adam.
Do you? Is that the last myth we got
personally? Well, finally, verse 18, where they crucified him and two other women.
Do you? Is found here?
And Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've got six fifths.
Well,
I never want some more. No, but don't do it now. It's Sunday. Oh, yes, Sunday.
A bloody,
over there's the tone.
Shameful and cursed death, as we see, nailed to the cross, just as the sacrifice was burned in the Old Testament. You will notice that.
I can't this
you cut. Sing song
I need to prove it. I'm not going to
binding
the papers I wanted.
Christ was bound to the altar of that cross. And as Matthew Henry wrote, his Saviour fixed his undertaking. He was fixed in place to do what he had undertaken to do. Then there are other pictures.
The possibility they
illustrate.
I'll get in the chemistry.
First, in relation to releasing.
I'm going to get a bit of cold milk because it's too hot.
We read in Deuteronomy 15, verses 16 and 17. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and I have, because he is well with thee. Then thou shalt take
just trying to get a bit more milk.
And yeah, thrust it through his ear. So take a neck and thrust it through his ear unto the door. And he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservants, I shall do likewise. So in the Old Testament, if when a slave should be released, the slave didn't want to be released and wanted to stay with his master, then what would happen is a nail would be taken and it would go through his ear and he would be impaled against the door. Obviously, that's not going to be as a slave, but it was to show that he belonged to his master. And so those nails that went through the Lord Jesus into that wooden cross with a
Also,
meditation of
I
how
also
Christ had become
hope.
his master. So his master, Christ has one
When,
master, his father.
yeah, just another
And so
isotope.
that
I'm quite
nail
not sure if
showed
that's going
that
to last.
he was given him absolutely
Somebody tweeted,
forever to his father. One God. Isn't that
Could I use
powerful?
a bit more milk in here?
He would serve him
Just
forever. And he did. Third, his death on the cross mirrors the account of the crazy serpent in Numbers. Do you remember when a plague of fiery serpents attacked the Israelites? I hate to make the idea of the whole host of them attacking them. Very, very unpleasant. And the Lord commanded Moses to erect a fiery serpent made of bronze on a pole. And those who gazed on that serpent would be healed. In John chapter 3,
the Lord Jesus
made reference to that brazen serpent when he was talking to Nicodemus
Thank you.
About salvation. And he
and
said
then I
this
go take
in verses 14 and 15.
Hold
And as
milk,
Moses
please.
lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be
It's
lifted
cold
up,
milk.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Thank you.
You
And
note
then I want
one
to
of
buy
those
these.
who was crucified with exactly this. Even with just on his dying breath, he looked on the Lord Jesus and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy Father's kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, to this today, thou wilt be with me in paradise."
Both of them?
The first person, as it were, to benefit from the Lord Jesus being lifted up on the cross. I'm not talking about the Old Testament church, but actually benefited from, as it were, the offending time was that thief, one of those, without craning his neck in his agony, and he looked on the Lord Jesus, and he was saved. Let me just read from Luke. I have a shot of that written down. And one of the malefactors which were at hand railed at him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Well, it's worth the thought that the Lord, that the Jews could have chosen two of the Lord's disciples, but instead two criminals were chosen. Of course, it would have been to Christ's honor to have been crucified with two of his disciples. But it was the opposite, having him crucified with two criminals. He was there to share their shame. He was to put in the center as if he was the chief criminal. And of course, it again fulfilled the scripture that he was numbered among the transgressors. Of course, there are many who will judge according to how they see. By hanging them all with two criminals, many will just look at the scene and say he must have been guilty too. Rather like the story of Nabal in the Old Testament. David, Saul, he hid from Saul and guarded the shepherds and the sheep of Nabal, and then sent messengers to Nabal to ask for food and for water. And Nabal's response? He said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break the law, every man from his master." So instead of inquiring properly, he just assumed he was like every other vagrant that he might find in his fields. He was judging things for his failure. The Lord Jesus himself warns us, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Let us all be careful not to jump to conclusions with limited information, but take time to consider all the circumstances of the matter. We note finally that the Lord Jesus did not die at the altar among the sacrifices of the temple, which might, you might think, be more appropriate given that all those sacrifices on the altar were pointing to him. No, he died among criminals, mixing his blood with those who sacrificed to satisfy public justice. Because, of course, that is what the Lord Jesus was going to do. Satisfy public justice for all of those people. Satisfying it, not of course before men, but before God. All the crimes that we have committed upon him. Well, finally, let's pause and consider. Let's look upon the Lord Jesus fresh with that eye of faith. Did anyone have sorrow like he endured sorrow? He who was clothed with glory in heaven was stripped of that glory and clothed with the shame of our soul. He who was once the praise of angels at his birth in the garden of Gethsemane, ministered to by an angel, he was made the reproach of men. And he who lay in the bosom of his father, at the moment of that moment, undergo the greatest extremities. As Matthew Henry said, and I use it extensively in the sermon, see him bleeding, see him struggling, see him dying, see him. And love him and live to him and study what we shall learn. Study what we will give ourselves that might be required of us, even our very minds. We will finish by singing Psalm 118, verses 24 to 29. Psalm 118.
Are you singing about Psalm?
Verses 24 to 29. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy joy forever. And then this rammer up and come into his prayer.
Oh, thank you. That's it.
We from
Ivan, don't you just do it? If we get it tomorrow, Ivan, not today. We'll pass it. Oh, please don't. Ivan, I've listened to a sermon on the crucifixion. My mother wouldn't even listen to the crucifixion if we were doing all of this. I'll be with you. I won't forget. Well, that should get us
Being
thinking for it.
The final decision that led by Pilate to the Sanhedrin, court of Sanhedrin, Jerusalem, by saying that
this is
going
playing
to
out.
Be him, that's Pilate, him, our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they led, and they took Jesus and led him away. Dearly beloved, this is a picture, not a victory on the human court, but a total self-surrender of our Lord Jesus Christ, His Father's will, to willingly pay our great sin, our abominable sin in the sight of God. And the wrath of God is against those sins. And yet, our Lord Jesus, in this moment, willingly submit to be crucified as the price for our sin. So let's pray that we'll be moved by that self-sacrifice on our behalf, securing our future, that we have a chance not to be under the wrath of God forever, but to be truly delivered from our sin, if we trust Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for the way that You have planned in our very sad ending, and yet to make us realize how You demonstrated Your love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
This There's nothing we can be able to repay but our sin to be offered to you. That's all we can offer. No goodness of ours, no good works of ours, no sacrifice of ours. But by grace and mercy, you allow your only faultless, perfect, sinless Son of God to be delivered in the hands of man, to Pontius Pilate and the madness of man, even thy own people, in cohort with the power of Rome. Thank you, Lord, that is the only way whereby our sins can be forgiven. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy willingness to offer yourself. Take the wrath of God against our sin upon yourself. Oh, help us to be forever grateful. Help us that even day by day, may we always thank you for such matchless, the only true love that was given to us as a gift. And yet, forgive us, Lord. Sometimes we forget how we should be humble day by day to thank you for the best gift that you have given to us. We don't deserve it, but by your grace and mercy, you gave it, you gave the life of your Son to die for our sin. Accept our simple praises and help us to truly submit ourselves to your will and be willing to live our Lord, like our Lord Jesus, wherever that faith, that love is being tried in this, in the face of our enemy, the devil. When we are right in our faith for his, for him and for living for him and serving him. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I think because of what we've just sung and the topic of the sermon, we'll just go straight into communion, and then we need to sing again. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. From verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many, for if we would be judged, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled when we listen to thy word and consider that on that cross thou did endure public justice on behalf of us. Indeed, what we would go through had thou not had taken it for us, we would have faced a holy God, and we would have faced public justice with an eternal punishment to come. And yet, Lord, others take all of that pain, the physical and the spiritual pain, on thyself, in thy body, for those 3 hours on the cross. Something that we will never understand fully, but we get an idea, just a small idea, what others do for us. How does that set an example by taking upon thyself that cross, literally carrying it, and then being nailed to it, bleeding for us, that precious blood, not being wasted, but atoning for our sins once and for all. How we thank thee for this so great sacrifice. We pray we would live worthy lives as a result, as we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow thee. So bless us now as we take these emblems, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask him for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
There's a gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, reading verse 26 first. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Mr. Ramrod, please look next to you.
Lord our God, we thank you for bringing us together before your presence at the Lord's table, reminding us as we all partake of this bread that all we like sheep have gone astray, that turn everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The establishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's take it together.
Reading from verses 27, 29 of the same chapter. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Please give thanks. Amen.
Father, thank you that whenever we take this cup, we show your patience with us, despite of our managing day by day. Lord, we bow before you with thanks in our hearts, that even before we take this cup, we want to remember the constant reminder how we should take this seriously. That if we walk in the light as is in the light, we fellowship with one another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, blesses us from all sin. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do it together.